Thank you, worship team. Thank you, Mitchell. We're in a new series that I'm calling God Is, and I said last week that I think it's a series that could change your life forever if you would join us over the next few weeks as we just begin to kind of talk about who God is and begin to understand Him a little bit better. I sometimes have people talk to me about God and the God that, you know, that they believe in and what they think about God. And when they get finished, you know, I say, well, I don't believe in that God either. You know, I can't believe in that God either in the way that you just described Him. And so this series is really just about talking about the God I wish everyone knew. And this morning, the message is God is speaking. God is speaking. And, you know, when you talk about hearing God and God speaking to you, people get so excited about that sometimes. And, you know, I think all of us would, you know, we get to that place and would say, oh, man, money, I would love to hear from God. I would love to hear that I'm in the right place at the right time, you know, right now, that I'm in the right relationship, I'm at the right school, or, you know, I'm at in the right job, the right career. But even as I begin to think about this, and even as I begin to kind of study this, I begin to think, wow, this. Sometimes I struggle with, and maybe you do too, does God speak even to people like me, though? You know, I can want to hear Him, and I can believe that He's speaking, but does He speak to someone like me? And if He does, is there any way for me to really hear Him? Listen, I know people like Abraham and Moses and Elijah and Mary and Coach Mays and Kim. I know He speaks to them, right? The spiritual elite, right? The special edition, spiritual giants, top shelf kind of Christians. I mean, I get it. I know He speaks, but to me. I sometimes have a problem that what I'll do is I'll begin to compare myself to others, right? And I think, no way. I mean, I can understand how He would speak to him, but no way He wants to speak to me. You know why? Because He knows me, right? He knows my struggles. He knows sometimes that I miss my daily Bible reading. He knows my prayer life sometimes gets dry and it feels like, you know, they're just kind of bouncing off the ceiling. He knows that about me. He knows that I always serve Him with all my heart. You know, that sometimes I want to walk away from that opportunity, right? He knows. He knows me in that kind of way. He knows that sometimes I miss opportunities to share His good news with people that He places right in front of me. He knows me. And I think sometimes because He knows me so well that you know, am I excluded from hearing His voice? And so I find myself thinking that God speaks to them, but maybe not to me. Well, let me just give you some good news, all right? This God that we are talking about, this God that is able, this God that is with us, this God, He speaks to His people, to people like us all the time. God is speaking. And so let me just kind of say this as I start this message this morning and kind of give you this principle. God's will, and I should have put it on the board, but I didn't, but God's will is more about who we are than it is about what we do or where we go. And we'll kind of talk about that more next week. But God's will for your life is not so much about what you do and where you go as it is who you are. It's about becoming from the inside out God's best version of you. And I think sometimes what we do is we get all stressed out about life. We get all stressed out, you know, is it here or is it there? Is it him or her, that place or this place, that school or this school, you know, this major or that major, this direction or that direction? And I don't know. I mean, I know God wants to guide our decisions. I know that about my God. But I think that maybe during this service, maybe more than ever in your life, God wants to tell you that He wants to say, my primary will is not so much about what you do or where you go as it is about who you are becoming. And I think God would much rather be a sculptor in our lives than he would be a traffic cop. I think God would much rather put us on a wheel and kind of mold us and sculpt us and shape us into something incredible more than he would to just be standing at the intersections of our lives with a whistle in his mouth and pointing this way or that way. I think God would much rather be a creative watercolor artist than the answer guy in the that works at the info booth at the mall. Or I think he'd much rather be so much more. He longs to be so much more than our Google Maps, where we just show up occasionally to get directions from him. I really believe he just wants to put his hands on us and mold us to be the best version of us and to speak his will, his purpose into our lives. And so this morning, as we talk about God is speaking, you know, I want us to start with how does God speak? And these are very practical ways, and I think probably you know in your heart, but I want to remind us of these ways of how God speaks to us. And the first way is this: he speaks to us through the wisdom of his word. Through the wisdom of his word. How many of you would say that you are absolutely dependent upon your GPS that's on your phone right now, right, these days? That you can't even back out of your driveway without, how many are dependent? I am. I'm going to be honest with you. Maybe some of you, you're not, but I'm dependent upon, you know, Siri to kind of help me out in the world. I mean, you know, asking her how to get here or there. Kim and I went to Washington, D.C. a few months back for a wedding, and we landed in Washington, D.C., and then we had to drive all the way out to Alexandria to our hotel, and there is no way we could have made that drive without Siri pointing us in the direction. We went into D.C. downtown, and we were coming back at night to our hotel. And I mean, the interstates are going all over the place, and you know, I had to turn on the high beams on the interstate to kind of catch the signs. I'm telling you, if it wasn't for Siri, we'd still be there going in a circle. But listen, Psalms 119, 105 says this: by your words I can see where I'm going. They throw a beam of light on my dark path. Listen, this book that we get excited about, it's a lot of things, but it is primarily a love story about a God who is crazy about you. It's a book full of hope and truth and comfort and challenge and practical wisdom. It's honest, it's real, you know, it's about life, and it is the inspired word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It connects us when we are wrong and it corrects us when we're wrong, and it teaches us to do what is right. It's not just a book of good, a good collection of wonderful thoughts and ideas of men. It's inspired. That word inspired in the Greek literally means God breathed. That means the Bible is absolutely reliable, that it can be counted on, that it will guide you. It is, you know, it is like the high beams in the dark. But if you don't ever get in it, God can't talk to you. I mean, how do you ever expect for him to speak to you and to talk to you if you're never reading his word to you? I mean, that's why, you know, our quiet times are so important. Every day you sit down for 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes. It doesn't matter the amount of time. And you talk to God in prayer. And you let God talk to you, to speak to you through his word. And if you're not doing that on a daily basis, you're missing one of the greatest ways God is speaking to us and talking to you. He speaks loudly through his word. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Listen, it's living, it's active, and it's fresh. It's your everyday personal GPS. And Siri, Siri, as good as she is, there's no way that you can compare her to the way God speaks His precise directions into our lives. For instance, you may be saying, "You know, Monty, I'm kind of confused about in this relationship that I'm in. I mean, I really like this person. I kind of think I love this person. And, you know, I'm thinking about maybe so that I won't lose this person. Maybe I need to become intimate with him. You know, I need really God to speak to me." And God responds, "God's will for you is to be holy. So stay away from all sexual sin. Then each of you will control his own body and live in holiness and in honor." Or maybe in marriage, it's struggling, and you know, it's always about their way and their needs and what I can do for them, and it's like, "Monty, God, would you speak to me? How do I handle this?" And God responds, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of the others." Or maybe at your job, at your workplace, your boss is crazy, right? And you just don't know what, and you say, "God, I need you to help me to know how to respond to him and how to, you know, really, God, I can't believe that you have me in this place. God, really speak to me." And he responds and says, "Maybe what you need to do is just to work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people." Or maybe you're struggling with something that just you're addicted to that you can't seem to let go of. It has this control over you, and you just, you know, I just can't keep on doing this. I need some help. God, what? God, speak to me. And God speaks graciously and lovingly, and he says, "Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to begin to control you." Or maybe this morning you are stressed, at the end of your rope, and you say, "God, I need some help." And God responds and says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." He says, "Just be still and know that I am God." And so I think people say, "Man, I wish God would speak to me." And the truth is, he has, and he continually does. The loving God that I wish everybody knew has already spoken truth and wisdom through his word that brings life to our soul and acts as our personal GPS through life. And no one that I've ever met has messed up their lives by submitting their lives to the scriptures, to God's word. This is God's will. And I believe more people would hear his voice if maybe we would stop asking him to say what we want him to say and spend time focusing on what he's already said. The second way that he speaks to us is through the presence of his Spirit. He not only gives us his word, but he has given us the presence of his person to walk with us every day. And I'm telling you, nothing has helped me more in my life or changed my life more until when I started understanding and living in the awareness of his 24/7 presence in my life. John 16:13 says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come." I mean, the Bible is clear that the Holy Spirit comes to dwell inside a believer at that moment of salvation. It's one of the promises we have from God all through the Bible. It's that he will never leave us. Ezekiel 36 says, "And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. And I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. He's telling us that his Holy Spirit will literally move us to follow his ways and be responsive to him. John 14 says, and I will ask the Father and he will give you another comforter and he will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit who leads into all truth. The world at large cannot receive him, for it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you do, for he lives with you now and someday shall be in you. So listen, if you are a forever follower of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is not just with us. He takes up residence in us. And not only does he start producing incredible stuff in our life, like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, you know, patient self-control. It's not that. But at the same time, throughout the day, he speaks deep into our hearts. And sometimes he is convicting. And sometimes he is challenging you. Sometimes he is strengthening you. Often he is encouraging you, comforting. You know, he's always leading and always prompting you to do the right thing, to walk in the right direction, and not just in the big time decisions, but in the little things, all through the day. In that moment, you know, he kind of comes to you, he speaks, and he says, "Now, listen, you're getting a little overheated. You're getting a little overheated. Don't react that way. Don't say another word. Just walk away and come back when you're cooled down." You've heard that voice. He prompts us, you know, sometimes don't leave your shaving stubble in the sink for somebody else to clean up, right? Put the lid down. Give her a kiss. You've heard that voice. He'll speak to you. Just, you know, say, maybe you ought to join this life group or this Bible study or be a part of this mission opportunity. Yeah, give it to this Rock On adventure. Hey, see that guy over there? Give him $20. He prompts us. Or he says, maybe it's been long enough. Pick up the phone, call your dad, call your mom, and forgive them. Let go of that bitterness. He gently encourages us, right? He says, hey, it's been 3 days since you've taken that drink. It's been 32 days since you've taken that pill. Hey, listen, don't forget that I am with you. And I am in you. And I'm going to give you the desire and the power to get well. He speaks, he guides, he prompts, he leads us all day long if we will listen to him. Any college football fans in here? Yeah, I love college football, right? I love it. It's the most wonderful time of the year. I mean, I really love it. It's all, you know, and I get the opportunity to go to the swamp, to the Gator, you know, experience that when they're home. I mean, I just love it. I get to stand in. I kind of remember back when I would run out there onto that field with 60, 70,000 screaming fans, you know, and I begin to think about, you know, the guy that's your coach. If you're on the field and you're participating in the game and you do something wrong, you can hear your coach's voice from the sideline. You know, it's like it blows me away. You can hear it. You know why? Because you've been hearing that voice every day yelling at you on the practice field. You know that voice. You know that voice. Listen, I'm learning that as you hang out with God consistently, day after day after day, and you begin to practice being aware of his presence, you will start to hear his voice above all the other noise. He speaks through the wisdom of his word. He speaks through the presence of his spirit in us. And third, he speaks through other people. I can't tell you how many times the Lord has used godly Christian friends to get me back on track. And please don't please understand this. I'm not talking about people who come up to me with, you know, words from the Lord. I'm not talking about you know, that as much. I'm talking about men and women who know me and love me, but also who know God and love Him and are listening to Him and seek His heart and can then speak into my heart. Many times God has used great followers of Christ to speak to my heart. And sometimes they don't even know it. They just happen to say something and the Holy Spirit goes, "Hey man, that was for you. That was for you." I mean, have you ever said in a church service, probably not this one, but a church service, and you felt like God was speaking directly to you? That nobody else is, you know, in the audience really matters, right? That God is speaking directly to your heart. He was. He is. In that very moment, God was speaking to you through a teacher to tell you what He wants to say to you. He often uses other people to share His word with us. 1 Thessalonians 2 says, "Therefore, we never stop thanking God that when you received His message from us, you didn't think of our words as mere human ideas. You accepted what we said as the very word of God, which of course it is. And this word continues to work in you who believe." God uses teachers and preachers and pastors and friends to speak into our hearts, and it will change our lives if we can listen to them. Proverbs 13 says, "Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffer harms." Who do you walk with? Who do you go to for advice? I mean, listen, you have some people in your life that love God and listen to Him and love you and listens to you. I mean, my first go-to is of course, Kim. Right, that she's my first go-to because God has always led us as a team. She walks with God. She knows Him in a very intimate way. She knows me. And so that's my first go-to. And this might be interesting to you. My second go-to are my boys. Even when they were kids, really, because I just felt like they had an insight into their daddy. They knew Him. They know Him, right? And as they begin to fall in love with God and pursue God, I was able to listen to them, and God was able to speak to my heart through their words. And then a few men in my life that can speak truth into me because they know my God, and they're pursuing Him, and they know me. I think sometimes what we want to do is we want to go to somebody and say, "Hey, you know, I feel like this is what I need to do. This is my next step. What do you think?" And then that person says, "Well, let me pray about it." And they pray about it, and they come back to me and go, "Well, I don't know. I just don't see it. I don't know if it's the right." And so they say, "Oh, okay, whatever." And they go to another person, right? Hey, this is what's going on. You know, I was just wondering, you know, what you think about this. And they go, "Well, I don't know. You know, I really don't see it. But I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm not God's voice." And so they go, "Okay." And then they go to another. And that 73 people they go to, right? And finally, the last one says, "Hey, I've been talking to you, this is what," and they go, "Yeah, I think that's awesome." I mean, and that person goes, "Yes, I knew it was God's voice. I knew it." Right? Listen, go to people that you know God and are pursuing Him, and they're not afraid to tell you the truth. And listen. I mean, still run it through the filter of God's Word and through the presence of His Spirit, but seek others. And let God speak to you through them. And the fourth one I have is, this is kind of a different one maybe, the convergence of circumstances. You know, we talk about converging, and, you know, when you talk about interstates and everything, converging can be dangerous and hard, but convergence is good. It's a good thing because sometimes when you are looking for direction, you start looking at how God has wired you, how He has shaped you, right? And your passions, your abilities, your personalities, your experiences, right? And all of them seem to kind of be converging into one lane. And you think, "Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. I think God is speaking to me." Isaiah 30:21 is one of my favorite verses. It says, "Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, 'This is the way. This is the way. Walk in it.'" And I want to be walking so close to my God that when I hear that still small voice, when I hear His Holy Spirit, or, you know, through His Word, or through His Spirit, or through, you know, others in my life, that I can recognize and I go, okay, this is the way. This is the way. Now listen, it's not about looking for signs. Because some of us will go overboard when it comes to that, right? And I'm talking to myself. Like, we say, okay, God, give me a sign, right? And you drive up behind somebody and they got a license plate in the middle of it. It says God or whatever, you know, and whatever. You go, oh, yes, I knew it. It's there, right? This is what I'm supposed to do. Or how many of you looked in the clouds and looked for formations in the clouds? Now, don't be embarrassed about that, because your pastor has done that, because I'm weird like that. You know, it's like, God, give me a sign. You know, maybe make a shape up there so I know exactly what. No, I'm not talking about that, right? I'm not talking about fortune cookie kind of stuff. I'm talking about honestly seeking God. And as He gives you direction in that still small voice on the inside, you know it's Him, and it will bring a peace into you. And you can say, wow, look how all these things are converging. He says, I love you. I made you. I want to use you. Trust me. I am calling you and calling you to step out and be strong, courageous. This is the way. Walk in it. He challenges us sometimes to use the circumstances of our lives as a way to communicate to us. When I was a young guy, I loved fishing, and I'll share with you some of my fishing stories. I was at one point, I had this little dinghy that I would use to fish into the canals on this lake where we were at, our family used to go to. And so one day, my sister was dating this guy, and my dad wanted me to take him fishing. And this guy didn't want to go fishing. I mean, this guy was a city guy. He didn't know what was going on. He didn't know how to do it. I mean, there's nothing wrong with city guys. But they don't need to be in a little dinghy fishing with you, all right? That's just not what they don't. They don't need to be doing that. And so I said, you know, Dad made me take, you know, and I'm just a little kid, you know. I'm like, come on, Dad. So we get into the little dinghy, right? It's kind of small for two people, especially one that don't know how to fish. And I didn't like the guy anyway. And so, I hope he's not in here, but listen, I don't think I did this on purpose. I think this was a God thing. I think it was the convergence of circumstances in my life. And I went to kind of talk, I had this top water plug, I'd loved it, and you know, and I kind of went to do that, and I caught him right here underneath the eye. And I went, no, you know, and I went, what, did, you know, and I looked and I saw that it was right there, so I did it again. Not really, but he starts going crazy. Starts going crazy on me, you know, crying and screaming. He's old. He's like, you know, 20. I'm going, what? Come on, man. What? You know, it's like it's in there, Jack. And so I had to back to the house, blew up my fishing trip, you know, and we I knew we had to push it through. You know, you got to do this, got to do that kind of thing. You have to push it through, cut the barb off, you know. It's just, pull it out. He's got this cut in there. He thinks he's dying, right? He doesn't ever, you know, hang out with my sister ever again. Right, it's the end of my fishing trip. We all went home. You know, didn't catch a fish. But I had, at that age, become a fisher of men. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Yeah. I mean, I'm taking Jesus literally, right? I'm just taking Him literally. Now, listen, it's a random story. I get it. It's a random story, but. But what I want you to see is that God uses the moment of our lives, circumstances, you know, He uses those to communicate to us. And I believe He uses that, you know, that I just speared my fishing dude moment. Or, I just standing in the line of the coffee shop moment. He uses it, I'm just going to the office again today moment. That all of those moments, circumstances of our lives, good or bad, are used by Him to communicate His will to us. And I wonder what would change if we really begin to get our minds around that, and we would be willing to listen and willing to respond. So here's my challenge that I'll give to you. The challenge is that when you find yourself in a frustrating circumstance, or you find yourself in an unusual circumstance, or even if you find yourself in a daily circumstance, ask yourself the question, Lord, what are you trying to say to me through this? What are you prompting me, God? What are you urging me to do? What are you guiding me in the midst of this moment? It's interesting to me. When I look back on that fishing trip many years ago, to what God has done in my life and where He has brought me today, now. You know, I am that person that I want my entire story to be about, pointing people to Jesus, being a fisher of people. I love how God uses the events of our lives to bring us to that place. And we need to get our minds and our hearts around that God speaks to us through the circumstances of our lives. And so how is He speaking to you today? Maybe He's just saying, I love you, I made you, I know the plans I have to guide you. Just listen to His Word, to His Spirit, to people, your circumstances, so you can be the right person at the right place at the right time, being used for the right purposes of God. I could finish it right there, right? And we'd be out here early. But that's how God speaks to us. And before we get out of here, I want to talk to you about some ways that you can be ready to hear Him speak when He speaks. All right, can you give me that? I'll try to do it in 10 minutes. I've always been, I think, in my own mind, great at hearing. Great at hearing. And it's kind of a cool thing to have because you can eavesdrop on people's conversations. It's kind of cool. But here lately, Kim has begun to say that, you know, I'm kind of hard of hearing. Right? And I go, huh? That's what we say, right? When they say the guys, we go, huh? What are you talking about? And so sometimes I think that I get that way in my relationship with God. My favorite story about hearing God is in 1 Samuel. If you have your Bibles, turn there real quick. I'm going to read this story to you. I know that's a lot of scripture. Woo, goodness. The boy Samuel, he's about 12 years old. He ministered before the Lord under Eli. 1 Samuel 3, starting in verse 1. It's in the Old Testament. Find it in there. It's a good one. Mark it up. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions going on. And one night, Eli, the priest at that time, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel, the little boy, was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. He was there in the kind of the Holy of Holies, there with the ark of the covenant, right? Really in the presence of God's word, in the presence of God. It says, then the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel answered, here I am. And he ran to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. But Eli said, I did not call you. Go back and lay down. Right? You kids ever do that? Like, no, I didn't call you. Go back. Well, you, amen to the parents, right? Go back and lay down. So he went and lay down, and I love this word. Underline it, highlight it, circle it, whatever you want to do. He said, again. Again. I love that my God doesn't give up on me when he's trying to speak to me. He says, again, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am. You call me my son Eli. I said, I did not call you. Go back and lay down. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. He's really getting to know God and understand him. So a third time the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, and you call me. And then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy, that the Lord God was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down, and if he calls you, say this. Say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood there calling as the other times, four times. Samuel, Samuel. And then Samuel said, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And the Lord said to Samuel, see, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. I love this about my God. He is an announcing God. He's an announcing God. I mean, he just has to share the good news with you, right? Or whatever it is. You know, he did that with Moses. I'm going to let your people go. He did that with Mary. This is going to be the Savior of the world. With the shepherds on the hillside, he announced to them that this baby's going to change the world. He's an announcing God, right? I sometimes feel like I was an announcing dad at times. Like, you know, maybe you were too, you know. And I'd look back, don't make me come back there. And I would just kind of announce, I'm going to come back there. You know, I was an announcing dad. He fills me, this story fills me with hope that God wants to speak to just regular people. I mean, Samuel was 12 years old. It fills me with hope that he wants to speak to regular people, that even at times that they don't totally get it, and he's willing to speak again and again. It helps me to understand that God will not give up on me, that He wants to speak to me. So if I can just keep a surrendered heart and say, Lord, if you will help me to know your voice more and more through the sound of your word, through the sound of your Holy Spirit, through other people speaking into, through the convergence of my circumstances, oh God, Lord, help me to have a surrendered heart and keep calling, God, keep calling until I can respond. Speak, for your servant is listening. Here's what you got to have, I think, to be able to begin to hear God speak to you. You got to have a humble heart. You got to have a humble heart. I think it kind of will usher the voice of God into your life when you humble yourself. It gives me fresh ears. It prepares me to hear God's voice. God could have spoken to Eli, right? And there's reasons that he didn't, I think. But instead he spoke to the young. He spoke to the young. Now don't get me wrong. I love being old. I mean, I love being 50, whatever I am. Yeah. I love it because you can just say what you want to say and then you can go to bed, right? I mean, I love being old. But listen, my goal is I want to be young at heart. You know, when Jesus, the kids were coming to him and the disciples were trying to push him away, he said, no, let them come. Unless you are, you know, childlike, you're not going to enter the heaven of God or enter heaven. That's how I want to be. I want to be childlike, not childish. I want to be childlike in my actions. I want to be young in my worship, young in my faith, young in my service to Him, young in my giving, not old as it relates to God. God, I want to stay young before you. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Second thing, understand every verse in His Word speaks His voice. Every verse. There's potential in these words, but when you begin to mix it with your faith, with your actions, you know, with you doing the Word of God, not only is there potential, but now there is purpose, and there's action, and there's truth for your life. God. And we know how important communication is. I'm still trying to work on communicating with Kim, because if we're going to grow, continue to grow, even as long as we've been married, I got to continue to communicate. We got to continue. God is a communicating God. And if we're going to grow in our relationship with Him, we got to be listening to Him and communicating to Him through His Word, through the Holy Spirit. Third, value His voice above all. Eliminate all the competing voices. I think Samuel was able to do this because Samuel had a praying mom. Hannah was his mom, and she just prayed for a child. And she went to Eli and said, I'm praying. If God blesses me, I'm going to dedicate him to the Lord. And so she did that. And that's why Samuel was in the presence of God, because he had a praying mom, a mom that believed in the voice of God. Parents, how important is it for us to pray for our children, our grandchildren, our grown children? I think it puts them in an environment where they value His voice. Puts them in the very presence of God. Because God's not a holler. He's not a yeller. I think most of the time He prefers to whisper because it means close proximity. And we say, God, speak up. And we want God to turn His voice up, and He wants us to turn down our lives. Third, share what He says. Samuel did that. People, before they hear God's voice, maybe they're going to hear your voice. And it will be your voice that will help them hear God's voice. Share what He says. And finally, whatever He says to do, do it. Listen, God is speaking. He wants to speak to you, so obey His voice. Someone once said, obedience is our love language to God. When I obey Him, His Word, His Holy Spirit, the use of other people in my life, the circumstances, the shape of my life, when I hear His voice and I obey Him, He releases His plan for my life. But when I disobey it, it brings confusion. There's a disconnect. I love how the story kind of ends with Samuel. 1 Samuel 3, 19 through 20, it says, "The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested," I love that word, attested, proven, "to be a prophet of the Lord." You know why? Because at a young age, he made sure he was at the right place, in the very presence of God, under the very word of God. And he had this surrendered, humble heart. He said, here I am, God. What do you need me to do?" He valued God's word above every other word. And so listen, God is speaking today. And no matter how many times we've missed it, he is still speaking again and again, waiting for us to have a surrendered, humble, obedient heart. And I get it. Life is tough, and it will beat you up. But no matter the bumps, the bruises, the bang-ups of life, he is still speaking. He is still speaking. So since he doesn't give up on us, let us not give up on him. God is looking for someone with a surrendered, humble, obedient heart, saying, "Lord, I'm not perfect. I don't have it all together, but I need you. I need you, God. So please, God, speak to me. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Will you do that? Let's pray. God, I just thank you so much that you are a God that is speaking to us today. And I pray, Father, that all of us in here in this room would begin to tune in to you. That God, through your word, through your Holy Spirit, the very awareness of being in your presence 24/7, God, allow us to begin to know your voice and hear it and understand it, God. Use other people, God, in our lives. God, use even the circumstances that we go through in life, God, to speak to us, can continue to share into our hearts. God, may we hear, may we obey, may we be doers of your spoken word to us. May we be a people like Samuel that says, "Speak, Lord, for me, your servant, is listening." Maybe this morning he's speaking directly into your heart. Maybe you've never totally surrendered and ask him to be your Lord and Savior. And that's where he's calling you today. His voice, his spirit is calling you into relationship with him. Don't miss it. Respond and say, "Yes, God, I receive you. Come in. Forgive me of my sins, God. Begin to change me, God, and transform me into the person that you want me to be, that you created me to be, oh God. God, I receive your mercy, your grace. I want to be your child. Come in, be my Lord, be my Savior." If you're obedient to that call that he has on your heart and to be in relationship, he will right now step into a forever relationship with you. And his voice will never leave you. His presence will never leave you. For most of us, God, in this room, we would profess that we know you, that you are our Lord, you are our Savior. But God, because of the noise of our life and the world and all the stuff that goes on, the hurts, the pain, the bumps, the bruises, God, sometimes we just can't hear you. So God, help us to humble ourselves, to value your word above any other, anybody else's word, God, and your voice above anybody else's, God. Speak to us. Give us the courage to respond. Use us, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.